It was an especially dark aspect of a very dark time for our nation. Under a savage zero-tolerance policy that trampled, among other things, the legal and moral precedents of American refugee policies, the previous administration separated thousands of children and infants from their families at our southern border in all of our names, with no plan to ever reunite them, despite publicly ending the practice in the face of deafening outcry in 2018, we now know, in fact, that it continued for months after that. There are few areas of public policy where the shift from then and now has been as abrupt. In its first month, an interagency task force named by the Biden administration has succeeded in reuniting over 100 children with their desperate parents. But this is just the tip of an iceberg of bad policy that needs to be permanently thawed. I am delighted to be joined now by Bishop Minerva Carcano, a leading voice on the ethical and religious mandate for caring for the displaced and the desperate. Bishop Carcano, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
You and I have talked on this show and at other places, too, about some of the outrageous and inhumane policies the previous administration has put in place. Are you happy with how the Biden-Harris administration has addressed these issues so far?
I am pleased, but I believe that we're going to have to all step up in support of what the Biden administration is bringing forth, because it comes on the heels of 4 years that dismantled so much of the goodwill, so much of the conviction of the majority of the people in this country to support policies around immigration that are just and fair, that support families, that recognize the fact that immigrants support our communities, that they are us. And so that will not be an easy task. Somewhere along the line, recently in conversation, someone who's closer to policy work said to me, "You do know that the Trump administration undermined, changed, fooled with about 400 policy matters." So to look at 400 policy changes, anti-immigrant, and I believe anti-American policy changes, to look at those to rebuild from this awful base will take all of us. Our voices need to be heard. There's too much of the racist, the white supremacy voices, the nationalism voices, that are not U.S., they're not American in spirit. They're certainly not from a place of faith, whether Christian or otherwise. And so it is a good moment. We believe it is a good moment. I just heard an interview with a migrant who is still in one of those camps along the border down in Matamoros, Brownsville border sector, who said, I'm grateful. Even now, I want to thank President Biden for his work. He has a lot of work to do because of the scourge of the Trump administration. I believe he speaks for all of us.
Sure. Well, what areas of concern would you like to see more urgent focus on?
Well, certainly to look at the immigration situation comprehensively and not piecemeal it. This is the moment to look at it comprehensively. So to look at that pathway to citizenship, the reunification of families, the protection of the rights of migrants, due process. Our immigration court system is totally undermined, backlogged, needs reinforcement. All of those things are critical. I am right now right now most concerned about the reunification of those children. I'm aghast with so many others of us at what we have done to children. It was not just under the Trump administration that children were separated and detained and put into the most decrepit circumstances. It was happening even under the Obama administration. We need to confess that, all of us, and we need to care for these children immediately. The world is looking upon us, and by that I mean the children of the world are looking upon us. I remember not that long ago being in Panama and a child, a young child asking me where I was from, knowing that I'm a brown woman, Hispanic. And I said, I'm from the United States. And he said to me, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid? This is a child. This is what we're doing to children. And this is certainly what we've done to children in the last 4 years. We need to work on that. We need to quit acting as if we can do this and get away with it, that we can do this and no one sees it, that we can do this and be disrespectful of our commitment to global laws, global commitments to justice, like the United Nations' own Convention on the Right of the Child. We've got to get reconnected with reality and with our values, our virtues, and the fact that we live connected to the rest of the world and are witness to children.
What would you say about the process that we're seeing right now?
I think it is moving in the right direction. I am concerned that already I'm hearing that there are some last minute agreements, adjustments to the Biden immigration bill that is coming forth. Last minute adjustments to give ICE some latitude on what they do, for example. And I just want to say, President Biden, don't go there. Don't go there. Stay strong. Be firm. We stand with you.
It's impossible for our immigration policies, among others, to swing wildly back and forth with every change of administration. What steps need to be taken to ensure the millions of people deeply impacted by these policies are not at the mercy of executive orders?
I'm just learning about the No Ban Act. And I think as I learn, I think that's the kind of step that we need to bring forward. The No Ban Act would not allow presidents through executive order to just say, I'm going to cut off the entry of people like Muslims, people from that faith tradition. I think we need to examine those kinds of areas and agree to some laws that cannot easily be changed by the whim of the next president, because we've just been through one who acted from whim and acted from his own immoral way of viewing the world and viewing others.
I wanted to ask you about the impact of the COVID pandemic on the uprooted communities that you work with so closely. What are the special concerns that arise on top of what each of us is already dealing with?
I want to start by saying that unfortunately, shelter in place because of COVID has limited how much people of goodwill, people of great compassion, people who've been advocating for the undocumented immigrant. It really has limited what we can do. We've had to find other creative ways to be present. There have been some brave souls who, with masks and all the other safety protocol, have continued to go to those camps where migrants find themselves, have gone to those families who are also sheltering in place and living this moment all alone. So I want to name that. We we need to keep working to adapt to the moment so we don't lose the good work that we are committed to do in partnership and relationship with our migrant brothers and sisters. The second thing I would say is that in the conversation about caring for one another, there has not been a conversation about who cares for the migrant, who cares for the undocumented person, except in rare places. For example, as we wait to see if there's going to be another movement towards providing funding to help families and help individuals, there's no funding for undocumented persons. An exception I would raise is that in the state of California, funding has been made available to undocumented persons. I'm glad to report that communities of faith have gathered and have developed funding processes to raise money for undocumented families in their neighborhoods, in their communities across their states. So those are good things. The other thing that I would raise is that in this moment of being unaware, busy protecting ourselves, keeping ourselves safe, immigrants, undocumented immigrants, among them farm workers, some documented, some not, they have been the backbone with medical workers and researchers as essential workers in this country with no support, with no safety equipment, no masks. They've had to figure that out. I know of farm workers personally, undocumented farm workers in the state of California where I'm located, who have been ill with COVID because of no safety help, measurement help, because if they say I'm ill, they run the risk of getting no pay for the time that they're way ill and possibly even being fired. And so their families are left even in deeper destitution. Mm-hmm. And I know of many undocumented persons who have just not gone to the doctor or the hospital because they don't have health insurance. They're afraid of this broken immigration process. And they're thinking, if I go to the hospital, they're going to turn me into immigration. And many of them have gone at the last minute, and it has been their last minute of life. Mm. Those are some of the realities that have gotten lost that are, for many of us, out of sight and out of mind. And we're going to have to face that if our hearts have any compassion, as we're able to move into the sunlight of this spring and into the summer. We will see that. And I hope that we'll respond to all of that, catch up.
You know, I, like so many other Americans, I am searching for reasons for hope. And so I ask you again to reflect on the new administration. Are you encouraged that the new administration's COVID response really recognizes the needs that you're talking about and the vulnerabilities that you're talking about?
Because I'm from South Texas, I'm very connected to that camp in Matamoros and Brownsville, and supportive of the frontline workers there. And I've just this week viewed a video of hundreds of those asylum seekers at that camp being released and being processed, being allowed to go and be with their family members and their friends who have offered support for them. And as I watched the video, all of them had masks, had their shields on, had their distance, every once in a while breaking the distance to hug somebody who had walked with them. And so in that image, I see both the compassion toward the immigrant coming, the asylum seeker, but also the precautions in this time of COVID. Those immigrant brothers and sisters are just as concerned about getting ill as we are. And everything I've seen and come to know on this journey is that they're trying to take as much precaution as they can, are ready to do what it takes, may need some masks, may need some shields, may need those kinds of help. But that's an image that is giving me hope this day.
Bishop Cocanio, I can't resist getting your reaction to this comment that Stephen Miller, the notorious author of some of the most savage policies in recent American history, made this week on Fox News. He said,
"What we are seeing here is the cruelty and inhumanity of Joe Biden's immigration policies."
When Stephen Miller says that, we must be doing something right.
We are doing something right. I would also mention that he had an outburst of anger, and it reminded me of those stories in Holy Scripture that speak about the demons that often reside within us, who shout out when the presence of God comes near. I'm not saying that Biden is the presence of God. I am saying that when justice in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of Jesus, for those of us who are Christians, comes near, those demons begin to protest. That's how I experience his way of being and his statements these days.
I know you do a lot of work on poverty. What are the prospects for the new administration addressing that issue in a more humane and responsible way?
I think that the administration will need to look at racial equity, because poverty in this country is defined by racial inequity. And so I know, I'm confident that they are looking at it through that lens. And I just hope that they are consistent on looking at it through that lens. We will never come out of the depth of poverty in this country until we fix what racism and discrimination have done in this country. So my hope is that they will hold on to the racial inequity as a measurement of how much work and what kind of work needs to be done to restore us to that place of abundance that we should be living with in this country and around the globe, because God has provided enough for all of us if we'll share, in equitable, just ways.
What should the average person who is trying to be a good citizen, what should those people be looking at right now that you've talked about today?
They should be mindful of those who are immigrants among them. They should find good ways to reach out to them and ask them directly, personally, how they are doing, what they are dealing with, sharing their own journey with them. This is a wonderful moment to rebuild community, because we have suffered together. And so let's rebuild community. I would also say to stay in touch not only with what federal government is doing, but what is local government doing? What is our local government about in the treatment of our neighbors, immigrants included? We should also be asking, what is my community of faith doing at this moment, and getting connected with that effort from the place of prayer to the place of action. And so those are some of the things that I think are very, very important. I think we all need to be praying about what we've learned in this COVID season. And one of the things that I hear most often is people saying, I've learned that I don't want to be alone. I've learned the value of community. I miss people, even the people I didn't know but by name, but would see every week, because I'd go to the supermarket or to the pharmacy. I missed them. It's a great way to rebuild community all the way across.
What are the priorities that you have in place to focus on in your ministry in the next few months?
Working on joining the voices of our Interfaith Immigration Coalition, Church World Service, and others on being a presence, speaking back to the Biden administration about their work, encouraging them and calling them to account when they begin to back off because of the political pressure. Immigrants have waited too long. Our communities, our churches have waited too long for this to be resolved in a just and humane way. As United Methodists in my area, we are also working on how do we rebuild community in the ways that I've described? How do we open up our churches in new ways that do not segregate us from the communities, but rather unite us, connect us? We're also looking at housing, affordable housing in the state of California is abysmal, and the suffering will continue without adequate housing. And so we're working on examining how to engage in that work. We have properties that we can use to assist with that. And finally, we're working on being anti-racist. We know that we can no longer be just those who advocate for assimilation and acculturation and welcoming. We have to be anti-racist. Racism is at the heart of all the issues we've talked about during this time.
The Right Reverend Minerva Carcano is resident bishop of the San Francisco Episcopal area, providing leadership in the California-Nevada Conference of the United Methodist Church. Her ministry includes a special focus on immigration and interfaith cooperation. Bishop Carcano, I always, after we have a conversation, I feel like I'm a better person just for talking with you, and I am amazed at what all you are doing and what you're telling us, but what you're doing. And I thank you so much for taking time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. You're so gracious. And I always leave feeling like I have a partner in you and your team and the listeners. And so thank you all. God bless you all.